Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Elias.
What shall we discuss?
Well, before we start discussions, I want to ask for a gentleman named Marius. Let me see. I want to get his name right, even though you probably know who it is. Marius Miscue. At least that's the name he goes by on Facebook. What is, he would like to know his dream trigger. And when I asked him in his impression, the thing he said he came up with was water.
Water and glass.
Well, that's interesting. Water and glass. In any particular form or just?
Yes. Any form.
Water and glass. And before we go too far, I want to say I touched my dream trigger.
Congratulations.
So, it was interesting. So I was kind of like half in a dream, kind of half out, you know, in, not sure if I'm in or out, but I was, must have been in a dream because I saw a big cat. And in my dream, I remembered, oh, that's John's dream trigger. I better go find John so he can touch the cat. And then I remembered, oh, well, I could touch my own dream trigger, so let me look for a window. So I touched the window, and then the only, I don't really remember much. I don't actually really have, like, a mental memory, but I went into a very deep state. It felt like I was getting this massage, relaxation massage. It was kind of like, that's all I remember, but that was kind of cool.
Congratulations.
Yeah. So anyhow, I just wanted
now,
to show
you. The next time you remember to touch your dream trigger, perhaps have an intention.
Okay. I will.
Of some action you want to do.
Okay. That'll even be better. Well, I do notice, I mean, a lot of stuff has been happening, and I just have more really vague feelings about everything that's been happening. But I know a lot of stuff has been happening. But so after I did touch my dream trigger, the next day, things were a little bit different. I can't really tell you how, but things were different. And I felt like it was because I touched my dream trigger. But so let me write intention. Okay. And then, so I'm just, I have a lot of curiosity questions today. So one, John and I watched this, we were talking with Mary earlier about this documentary on water and water holding information. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
Well, everything holds information, right? So that's kind of a moot point. But, okay, so this documentary was saying how, like when water is in its natural form, like going over streams and rivers, and then it, like, I don't know if it, like, has more, it's more beneficial or has more, better energy or something. And then it was saying when it goes the way we bring it to our house through like pipes that have square angles and then put it in plastic, it's not as good for it. Like if we drink it, it isn't as good. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
That's interesting.
They also had that, remember they had, it was a sealed vial of some poison and it went in the water, but it couldn't mix with the water. And then they took that water and fed it to, or they fish or something, I don't remember, and they all died.
Yeah, and it wasn't even touching. But that would make sense because, so this has been, like people who pray with water has more crystallized forms versus if you're angry around it and then it won't. So if you're going to pray around water, would it be healthier to drink?
Yes.
But then I feel like that would be with anything. You could pray for your food and or have the intention, you know, or get yourself aligned in a good position.
Correct.
It's going to be good with anything, not just water. So I guess the question is there something a little bit unique about water?
It absorbs.
Okay.
Water absorbs energy. it not only absorbs energy, but it holds it for a time framework, not indefinitely. It does reconfigure it naturally, and therefore dissipates it, but it does absorb energy and hold it for certain time frameworks. This is the reason that in some locations throughout your history, you will hear of certain springs that mm-hmm. have healing powers, or certain areas in which there are certain pools of water that individuals view as healing pools. The reason for that is that the water itself absorbs certain types of energy and holds it. And it does not hold it indefinitely, but if there is a continuous influx of the same type of energy, it does infuse the water with that energy, and in some situations it can be healing. I would also express that it can move in the other direction also, that if there is a concentration of what you would think of as negative energy, the water will absorb that also, and it will infuse the water with that, and in that you would feel it if you entered that water. You would feel uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. And so, two things. One, the documentary said, like, ice, when water freezes, it kind of cleans the slate.
Yes.
So that's true. And then I'm thinking now, I'm just curious, when I take a bath and I put salt into my bath, what does the salt do to the water? I mean, I know it says it's supposed to release your, help soothe your muscles. That's what...
What salt does in water is it creates this interaction with the water in which it generates an additional natural buoyancy. Salt water is more buoyant than what you term to be fresh water. All water is buoyant, but salt water is more buoyant. Salt water also incorporates a type of healing property to it. For when you combine salt with water, it draws out more energy.
Okay.
Than
yeah.
fresh water. The salt acts as a type of catalyst, and it draws more energy out. Therefore, the actions of the drawing out of the energy and the additional buoyancy lend to relaxing naturally. You automatically will be much more inclined to relax in salt water mm-hmm. than you will in fresh water.
And so, like, when you say drawing out of energy, you might think, or one might think, oh, maybe it's taking your energy away or something, but it's really kind of drawing energy through you and helping it flow more, or no?
What it does is... It does not, water itself does not draw away from you, in a manner of speaking. It absorbs
right.
the energy that you are expressing.
Mm-hmm.
But you are continuously generating energy. You are continuously, yeah. in a manner of speaking, manufacturing it. Mm-hmm. The water absorbs whatever you are already projecting. It is not pulling it out of you.
Mm-hmm.
It is absorbing what you are projecting. The energy that you are emitting, it absorbs. Now, when you add salt to the water, that okay. does draw energy. It draws energy that is more than you are actually projecting, which is the reason that it has that relaxing effect. Any energy that the body is holding in any expression other than calm, any agitated energy, and that does not necessarily mean negative.
Mm-hmm.
It could be positive. It could be excited. It is any energy that is agitated, that is vibrating stronger, the salt draws that out. Therefore, it would incorporate the same effect if an individual was irritated or if they were elated.
Yeah.
Or if they were anxious or if they were giddy. The salt in the water would generate the same effect. Any type of energy that is vibrating, that is generating an agitation in the body consciousness, the salt in the water draws that out. And therefore, then the water absorbs that energy. This is the reason that if you were to be near a body of water, that there was a collective group of individuals that were agitated and were engaging that water, you would not necessarily want to engage that water because you will feel that agitation. You might not be aware and know that it is the water that is agitating you. But that would be the case.
Interesting. So, okay. Any more questions on water?
Well, do you want to ask about, like, alkaline water? Or?
Oh, yeah. That's a good question. I mean, that is. Is it better to drink more alkaline water than less alkaline water? Healthier for health for your body?
I would not express that as a blanket statement. I would not answer that with a yes or a no.
It depends on your body chemistry.
And in addition to that, it would be a matter of balance. And therefore, yes, it would be variables between different individuals and their individual body chemistry. And I would express that with every individual, it would be a matter of a balance, not to blanketly express yes, it is better to drink alkaline water, and then individuals are continuously drinking alkaline water, and it may incorporate an adverse effect for you're not balancing. Or never engaging any alkaline water, which would be the same. In this, I would express that it is a benefit in a balance.
Okay. Pretty state answer. I mean, it's pretty much applies to everything.
Yeah.
Okay, so now, and this may be just kind of, you had a session with someone talking about body consciousness, and in one line you said, and I'm aware people think maybe it's your body consciousness is your physical body, which I'm like, guilty, I did. When you said, oh, the body consciousness holds the memory, I'm thinking, well, from every single lifetime are these same cells being rejuvenated or being used over and over, but... So now I'm gathering it is more of, and just for ease of communicating, I know these subjective, objective states are not necessary, but so now what I'm gathering is it's your body consciousness is just like the subjective, subjective part of your consciousness that is, we utilize, so then we don't have to worry about our heart beating, and our, it's kind of on autopilot, but it's not necessary, but it's, you know, not necessarily, it's really hard to talk about this stuff.
It is.
It is.
It is instructed by the subjective, and it is maintained by the subjective. Therefore, contrary to the statement of autopilot, which I understand what you are expressing, mm-hmm. in relation to your objective awareness, that would be correct. But the subjective aspect of your awareness is continuously interactive and is continuously maintaining all of the function of the body consciousness. It is, in a manner of speaking, overseeing all of the actions, all of the functions, every detail of the body consciousness, and that is also what holds all the memory.
So when you say, you know, the body conscious, when we talk about the subjective part of the, or the subjective instructing the body consciousness, and the body consciousness holds the memory, is there another part, or another, is there another aspect of the subjective consciousness that does other things besides, other, has other functions besides body consciousness?
That your subjective awareness does?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I know. I know. I knew that. But, okay, so I'm just trying to think of...
Maintaining your body consciousness is only one aspect of it.
So why... Okay, so then the question is, why is all memory... Why would you say or specify that the memory is held by the body consciousness?
For it is. It is not held in the manner that you think.
Right.
It is not a thing.
Right.
Such as an enzyme or a fluid.
Right, right.
That is encased in a cell. It is not a thing. Therefore, it is not what you think of as memory is stored in your cells, per se. For in that capacity, in a physical capacity, it is not a physical, tangible thing that resides in the actual cells of your body. But it is an energy that is interwoven in every aspect of your body. Yes. Therefore, your body consciousness does store memory, but it is the subjective aspect of your awareness that is actually holding that memory. And in that, the body consciousness, in a manner of speaking, is a receptacle for that, which you evidence to yourselves through different actions that you would think of as involuntary. Time, places, things, objects, scents, taste, any type of sense information, the body will respond to, the body will react to in relation to
the memory.
Yeah. And the classic, if you will, example of memory being stored in the body consciousness is when you damage a part of the body consciousness or you sever a part of the body consciousness. Mm-hmm. It continues to generate the memory of what is damaged or what is severed, and you continue to experience it even without the physical manifestation. And as I expressed a considerable time framework ago, you can even remove an entire hemisphere of your physical brain, and the body consciousness holding that memory will compensate for that, and you can function and you can express and you can generate recall equally as efficiently as if you incorporated both hemispheres of your brain. Now, the brain is a tricky organ, and therefore I would express that it is a delicate organ, and it is easily damaged, and therefore it is a matter of you can actually, in certain situations, remove an entire hemisphere of the brain, and the individual can continue and function equally as well as any other individual, provided you do not damage any aspect of the brain in that process.
You wouldn't suggest we try it, though, right?
No.
Don't worry.
But the body will adjust, and what it will do is it will fill that cavity with fluid to occupy and to balance, and it will generate a type of fluid that will incorporate the same weight as that hemisphere of the brain to create that actual physical balance. And in that, if the other hemisphere of the brain is not damaged in any capacity, then you can function and express in the same manner that any individual does with both hemispheres of the brain. Therefore, the body consciousness holds all of this information for you while you exist within physical focus. And all of that information is present even if certain aspects of the physical body are damaged. Now, if you were thinking in the capacity that memory is some type of thing that is stored in each cell,
that's not correct.
Then if you remove cells, then memories would be removed also. And that would not necessarily be efficient regardless, because your body consciousness actually regenerates every cell in your body consciousness, and within a period of 7 to approximately 7.5 years, every cell in your body is different.
So, just out of curiosity, how, like, let's say, especially now as science is advancing, you know, I could lose a leg, get a fake leg, lose my arms, get a fake arms, I could even replace organs, you know, I could get a heart transplant from somebody else. How much of my body, besides not counting this regeneration bit, but how much of my body could I substitute with either, like, foreign, like a metal or a plastic or somebody else's body, and still retain my feeling of my personality, like, all feeling like me? Even my brain? Like, if you could replace a brain, let's say, if I took somebody else's brain and put it in my body, would whose memories would I have, mine or theirs, or both?
Likely both.
What?
To a degree.
Yeah.
If you incorporate any other body part, such as a transplant, when you do that, when you incorporate another individual's body part in your body, you will gain some of their memory. Not all of it, but you will gain some of their memory also.
So if let's say they one day come up with a, you know, not a person's body part, but just like a fake heart, you know, a plastic heart or something that can be, and all this, and I basically, like, got a whole new body. It almost seems like, is there a way to take my consciousness? I know on some place there is, and then maybe not now, but you can, so you could take my consciousness and put it in a computer. Then. At some point in time. I mean, obviously, we're not doing it now, but if the body conscious, it just, it's, anyhow, I'm not going to talk about that anymore. This is way beyond me for now.
This would be,
yeah,
one of the reasons that many individuals are interested in or fascinated with the subject of cloning. Mm-hmm. Because in that action, when you develop a new manifestation born out of that beginning, mm-hmm, of the original source, and you grow that as a clone of the original source, it holds all the memory of the original source.
So, would that then, you clone a human, the new baby coming up, it's going to still have, will it be able to access the memory of the original as easily as the original? Or is it going to be like us having memory of past lives that we have to, like, kind of relax into or learn into or allow or something?
I would express that it would have the same recall of memories that you do of, yes, other lifetimes.
Yeah, okay.
That it will generate surface memory first, which surface memory are all of your experiences that you are generating in this lifetime, in this focus. Therefore, it would incorporate the same function in which it would generate the recall of memory in surface memory first, but it could access other memory in the same manner that you can access other memory.
So, switching topics a little bit, my daughter was having some pain in her stomach last night and went to the hospital, and they said they took a CAT scan, and she thought it was appendicitis, and they said it was higher, that maybe it was a gallbladder, but they ended up, it was none of that, and discharged her. And I'm not sure, I have to talk to her again, but I think she said maybe it had something to do with her intestines. Is this pain that's causing her, is it a combination of stress and her diet? Or is it both of them, right? It's her diet.
Let me express to you, and I have expressed this previously, your digestive system is one of the most sensitive systems in your body. You automatically think that your nervous system or your circulatory system are the most sensitive, but they are not. They are tremendously resilient and they are tremendously strong. They can incorporate and endure a considerable amount of dysfunction and abuse and stress. They can function in a considerable amount of distress. Your digestive system, conversely, is a very sensitive system. It is sensitive to what you consume. It is sensitive to what you breathe. It is sensitive to all of your emotional communications. It is sensitive to all of your expressions of energy.
So, for this pain to go away, would it be a matter of her, is there a food that she should eliminate, or a food that she should start eating, or is stress more of a factor? Or
stress and pressure are considerable factors, and I would suggest that she address to that.
Yeah.
As to what she consumes, let me express to you, I acknowledge that there are many individuals in your present time frame work that incorporate a variety of preferences in relation to what they consume in food sources. most of which are influenced and motivated by philosophy and ideals, not by their actual body consciousness or what functions well or optimally with their body consciousness. Therefore, it is more what they believe than what is actually optimal for their body consciousness. Now, that being stated, you are human beings. You are a type of physical manifestation in which the maintenance of your body consciousness without philosophy and preferences is considerably diverse. There are not a significant number of species in your reality that incorporate that type of diversity in what they consume naturally. In actuality, in relation to natural consumption of food sources, pigs are very similar to humans in what they naturally consume. Pigs consume many different food sources. They are not vegetarians. Humans, especially in more recent time frameworks, within, I would express, half a century, therefore very recently, have generated more preferences in relation to ideals and philosophy, what they believe, not their beliefs, but what they believe in relation to foods, and that has influenced what they consume. That is not always to their greatest benefit. Now, what I would express is, as the beings that you are, in a natural expression and in a balance, in one direction, I would express that most of you consume more and excessive amounts of meats, but I would also express that then there are the other extremes that consume none, and that is not a balance either. And because of the structure of your body consciousness, your food sources are not a philosophy. It is not merely a matter of what you believe is right or wrong. That is a construct. In actuality, when you eliminate certain aspects from your physical diet that are natural to you, it creates an imbalance in the body consciousness, and especially the digestive system, for that is the most sensitive system in your body consciousness. Now, let me express to you, I would say, and I have expressed this previously, there are some food sources that you consider to be food sources that realistically and naturally are not food sources for you, such as cow milk.
Right.
Now, I'm not expressing all dairy products, for when you incorporate a source such as milk and you alter it and you create a different food source from it, such as butter or cheese, you are changing the structure of that original source, and you are creating a food source for yourselves as a species.
Thank God.
Which you have done throughout your history. You incorporate an original source and you change it in some capacities and you create a new food source. And that is a natural movement for you and a natural action. Therefore, some products that you would view as dairy products are acceptable food sources. Milk is not.
Right.
It simply is not. And in that, eventually, you will realize that factor, because more and more and more and more, and much more obviously, not only you as adults are generating reactions to it, but infants don't tolerate it. And more and more and more infants are not tolerating their own mother's milk because their own mothers
are consuming
so much milk from cows.
Yeah.
Which is,
I had that experience,
not natural and is not, I would express to you, this is purely, genuinely, it is purely an economic expression. There is no value to consuming milk from another animal as a human, any other animal as a human. There is no value to be consuming human milk as a human beyond the age of 3.
So
it is not a natural action. Therefore, in this, no human is benefiting from consuming milk of any animal, including your own species, mm-hmm. beyond the age of a toddler. Mm-hmm. I would express that other than that, most of the food sources that you incorporate as what I would term to be whole foods, meaning foods that are not altered in an artificial manner. Right. Not meaning butter or cheese that are merely generating a certain action. I grant you that they do incorporate additives also. But you can incorporate those types of food sources without those additives. It is possible. Yeah. I would express that other than those types of food sources being placed into the category of whole foods, any type of manufactured, packaged food source is not actually beneficial to any of you. Yeah. But I would also express that it is not balanced and therefore not healthy to be generating a physical diet of consumption that eliminates an entire food group or more than one food group. That is not maintaining the body consciousness in relation to how it is designed to function. And the first system that is affected is your digestive system. And many individuals can incorporate years and years and years and not notice that their digestive system is being affected until it is affected to a point in which they begin to experience discomfort or pain or inflammation. Mm-hmm. But that does not mean that it is not being affected.
Yeah, I can't imagine her changing, but we'll see.
I am merely expressing that if you want the information that is the reason, this is the reason. So whether the individual chooses to
It's their choice.
Engage that or not is their choice. I would express that the challenge and the difficulty with these types of situations is that the protein sources that individuals use as alternatives, mm-hmm. once the digestive system is already irritated and is already susceptible to irritation, many of those alternative protein sources exacerbate that situation. Nuts, seeds, I would express even some vegetables, but definitely in relation to those types of beans, mm-hmm. and I would express that especially for female individuals, soy products are
not good. Yeah, that's been coming up lately.
That is a considerably damaging food source.
So what's going on with wheat these days? I mean, how come this whole gluten thing?
I would express that. Now, in relation to that, this is a matter of processing. Mm. I would express to you that there is no wrong element with wheat. There is no thing wrong with grains and consuming grains. That also is a natural food source for you as a species. But you also, in mass production, have moved in directions in which you are processing grains in a manner that strips them of what is valuable to you and what is actually sustaining to you, and leaves them with parts of the grains that are not necessarily beneficial. And therefore, you are consuming, yes, grains, but you are consuming them in a processed manner, and that processing is altering what you are actually consuming. You're not actually consuming the whole grains, which is what you would naturally, but you don't.
Even with whole grain bread, is that still overprocessed? Like if you go to the grocery store, buy whole grain bread.
It is dependent upon
the brand or whatever.
Yes, it is dependent upon what you are purchasing.
Yeah.
If you are purchasing most of the massively produced breads, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so then,
and there are additives in that also interact with the grains and assimilate differently in your body. And sugar
makes. I know sugar is the same. So then this is questioning about sugar. So obviously sugar is the big thing. Boy, if you want to lose weight, you give up sugar. But, and I know you said something before about sugar that was very interesting, but before I go there, just curious. So, you know, obviously sugar cane in its natural form, is that not as harmful for you? Because sugar is obviously very processed. We know that. Is that why sugar isn't good for you? Because of it being processed? In its natural form, sugar is okay for you? Really? And I know you said
such
this is
fruit.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Now, I would also express that is a matter of balance.
Yeah, yeah.
That if you are only eating fruit,
yeah,
that would not be balanced.
Well, that, I mean, it all kind of makes sense. I mean, that all seems easy to me to, like, just, and I even said that if it's a natural food, it's probably okay to eat. Unless it's a mushroom, and you can't eat mushrooms. Those are poison. But other than that, oh, so that's also a curious thing to me. So you know how some people naturally don't like foods? If you naturally don't like a food, is that your body kind of telling you, say, so I should not
definitely
eat mushrooms? You shouldn't eat beets? So definitely. Some bodies don't like some foods.
Yes, and like I would express that if you dislike a food,
don't eat it.
Your body is telling you that it is not compatible with you. And if you do eat it, or if you continue to eat it, it is very likely that you will develop an allergy.
Well, see, because that body is very smart. Helps you.
I've heard the opposite, too, where your body will crave something that it really needs and is not
yes.
getting.
Yeah.
But then how about that when it craves, and this might be that three-day thing, like if you could, like if I ate a whole bunch of chocolate, then I'm going to crave the chocolate versus if I don't eat it, then I'm not going to crave it. So there's the opposite side of that, too.
That is the sugar.
So, but if my body craves the sugar, it's not good for me.
But if your body is craving sugar and you are consuming some other source, such as fruit or even vegetables, you won't be craving that.
It's craving
that.
Something. Oh, I see what you're saying. So if I'm craving something that supposedly that we say is not good for us, it's probably because there is something that my body wants that
yes.
I should get from a natural source, and then I won't be craving it from this source.
Correct. You crave it from that source because that is what you are accustomed to.
Right.
That is what you know.
Gotcha.
And especially in relation to sweets.
Yeah.
If you are craving something sweet, you will automatically move in the direction of what is processed.
Yeah, I know. That's process is the worst. I know all that. But anyhow, it's great confirmation of everything that I think we pretty much know. So, Jess, also to switch topics a little bit, and I don't even know... if I have a question about this, maybe just telling you my observation or what's been going on, and maybe you can delve into it as you sometimes do. So I've noticed, especially since this, you know, the Trump has become president and everything, I have been having, there's like been this theme in my dreams for almost every night, it seems like, and I can't really recall exactly... I mean, at the time when I wake up sometimes, but I can't really recall, except it's like, okay, every dream has a theme of, okay, of realizing that everything is a choice and realizing that I'm determining, you know, the good or bad. I mean, I've been having these themes every night. It's like, you know, like in my dream, I'm like realizing, okay, and now I get to choose which way I want to go with this. I just feel like it's maybe like the obviously growing awareness or shifting how I'm starting to think about things maybe in my dreams first to parlay it into my waking. Or would you agree or understand?
I would.
And have
yes.
anything to say about that?
I would agree.
Okay.
And this is an excellent method of assimilating information mm-hmm. without having to experiment. You
that's what I
generate
like.
That
yeah.
in your dream state, and I would also express that you can give yourself considerable information in your dream state, which
yeah.
in many, many, many situations you do, and you don't necessarily recall your dreams,
mm-hmm.
but you are expressing that in your objective activities
mm-hmm.
and movement and even revelations
mm-hmm.
that you give
mm-hmm.
yourself objectively.
Mm-hmm.
I understand
mm-hmm.
this point.
Mm-hmm. Which I
likely don't. You were assimilating that in your dream state already,
mm-hmm.
and in that, your objective awareness then expresses that mirror of what you were doing. Now, how is this associated with your present president?
Well, I think it's, and it's probably influenced, like, from reading, you know, things you say and what, but with the present president, like, it's, he's not good or bad. I mean, we can, it's kind of like my theme to that is, like, I can do what I want. And, so I can, you know, it's like everyone in the country, not everyone, but it's like, you hate him, people love him, there's all this division, but I can look at him personally, I think he's a dweeb, but I can also look at him more neutrally aside from that. I can and think, I don't feel a threat from him. I don't feel as threat. I'm just like, you know, more curiosity, more thinking I can go either way. You know, I can go say, hey, it's kind of good he's bringing this stuff up and people are becoming more aware and maybe doing more research. And then it's also people are getting reactive. I mean, you can kind of go either way with it that you want. And I am seeing that, so. But the bell went off, so we better let Mary come back.
There you go.
So, we will talk to you, maybe if she feels like it, for another half hour.
We'll very see. Well.
Okay.
We shall break.
Okay, we shall break.